morning, turn with me to our text, a very familiar text, will be found in Psalm 23:2a. Psalm 23:2a, just the first part of verse 2. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. Let us pray. O Lord, how great thou art. What a great shepherd thou art to thy sheep. O Lord, we ask indeed at this hour that you would join our hearts in prayer and praise. And Lord, give us a heart to want to be instructed of thee. And Lord, may you indeed make us to lie down in the green pastures. Define for us this day how you will feed us. What is it that thrills our soul? And may you be pleased to reveal thyself to thy children this day for the glory of thee. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. This passage of scripture in Psalm 23, the Lord has used many times in my life. Seems like it's always in a time that I need peace, that I need tranquility, that I need to be made to lie down. Every time I go to the doctor or I take my blood pressure, this is what I recite in the 23rd Psalm. And when the Lord blesses it, it is very calming to me. Psalm 23 is for the people of God. It is very comforting. It's very comforting because they hear the voice of their shepherd in it, the shepherd of the sheep. And they have ownership in it because of verse 1. Verse 1 reveals the union that's in this passage. I was tried again this week by one of the dead religionists in the world. I decided to take issue with something the Lord had given me in Scripture, and I will admit to you I got angry. But the Lord held my tongue and brought me here again to Psalm 23. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. Many times in the Word of God, there are certain passages that the Lord impresses upon his children that they hold dear to their soul. And I know in your life you've heard Psalm 23 many times preached or read, or I will probably say, I think it's safe to say, not like it will be explained today. Truly, it's what the Lord has given me. I've listened to quite a few sermons up to this point, and I do think man misses the point of this Psalm many times. And I think the key is lies in our text today. Our text says that he maketh me to lie down in green pastures. What a blessing that is. And I say that not flippantly, because I know there's already those in here that take issue with that. I know it. I see it in your life. I see it in your testimony. I see it in the way you carry yourself, the open rebellion against a sovereign God, the open rebellion against the Lord who makes his people to lie down in himself. Because that is what the green pastures are. It's the finished work of Christ. It's what the Lord has done for his children. We first back up to verse 1. To see that David, when the Lord and the Holy Spirit impressed upon him to pen these words, he started with union. He started with seeing the Lord before the foundation of the world. He starts by saying that the Lord is my shepherd. That's ownership. Not as the dead religionist in the world, or the false religionist in the world, or even those that profess today that fill many places to say that they know this shepherd. It was different for David. It's different for the people of God. Because the terminology that comes from David and the Holy Spirit in his soul, there's the creature totally disappears. And everything that flows in this psalm has nothing to do with David. And that's where I think man goes wrong. I've heard, like I said, many messages over the last few days about this psalm and how this is the shepherd, and now this is what he's done for the sheep, so that the sheep take from the shepherd. No. No. The Lord is my shepherd. When he says that, he's absorbed in the union of Christ. He's absorbed in the union that he has, so he can say that it is vital to his soul, that it's eternal, that he knows that what he has in the Lord is the Lord is his shepherd. He is his caretaker. He is the one who leads him. He is the one who guides him. He is the one who provides all things for him. And David would say that later. I will cry out unto the Lord who performeth all things for me. He is my shepherd. My shepherd means union. I see the Lord. The Lord has revealed to me that he is my shepherd. That there's nothing else here. Sheep are very dumb animals. When they wander away from the Lord, they will never come back on their own. When a sheep wanders from a fold, he never can find his way back. But we never say that, do we? We always attribute that to the sheep and say, you'll find your way back. You'll find your way home. But the sheep is too dumb. He's too introverted where he looks at himself, and he's too easily duped by pastures all over this world. And his need is in his shepherd to bring him back to the fold. His need is for his shepherd to perform all things for him. And because the shepherd is his shepherd, he has no desire to have a name in this world, no desire to be known in this world, no desire to have a title, no desire of the riches in this world. He shall not want. He shall not lack anything. And I know that there's many who say, oh, look how the Lord gives you food and raiment. Yes, it's all true. But this is soul work. David is speaking from his soul. And what the Lord has revealed to him in his soul, I have no desire of any other God. And you could sit up this morning and say, well, I don't either. I mean, I know there's one God. Do you? Do you know the God of Mammon? Do you know the God of the electronic world? Do you know the God of slumber? Do you know the God of work? Do you know the God of riches? There are many false gods in this world today. We make them that way. We set them up as gods in our life. And until this shepherd comes and he reveals the power of the union that he has for each of his sheep, we can't say the Lord is my shepherd. Not from the soul. We can say it from the mind. We could follow into any religious conversations. Oh yeah, the Lord is my shepherd. But to say that the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want, says to you that you have been in want before. You have been in desire before. You have been emptied to desire something. And the Lord has filled your soul to say that I am enough. That the food that I provide for you is enough. And that's what I mean. When we get past verse 1, which is introductory, we all like to focus on the shepherd. Yes, the shepherd is Christ. But the shepherd tells us in this text today, he tells us how it all begins. And he tells us how it all ends. And he tells us how it all is in the middle. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. Everything else that will come in this psalm falls out from this part of Scripture. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. Then the Lord reveals to David what those green pastures are. And that's where the rest of the psalm comes from. What are those green pastures? But have you ever been emptied of pride enough to say that this Lord performs all things for me? And not just to say it, but to live it. That He gives life more abundantly in Him. Not to say it and then go out and live the contrary life. Where you have to absorb everything in this world. Where you have to fit into this world. Where you have to grope in this world and say, my religion has to fit myself to you. That's not this shepherd. That is a hireling. That's not this shepherd. This shepherd says when he calls his sheep and he reveals that union, there is no other desire and no other want in their soul. They don't lack anything. He is their life. In the day of his faithful power, he maketh me to lie down. He maketh me. You will hear that phrase used over and over and over again today. He maketh me. It's not my phrase. It's the Holy Spirit inspired text that he gave to David in this text. He maketh me because I will not on my own. But he's been proved that. The Lord has proved it in his soul that there's no other pasture out there for him. I see that in our youth today, not only in the youth, believe me, it's plenteous in the adults, to keep jumping from pasture to pasture to pasture, and they're never filled. And it's true, because the Lord is not a liar. The sheep are only satisfied in the green pasture of the Lord Jesus Christ. He must make me to lie down in this pasture. He must, and he will. Faithful is he that calleth you, who will do it. Also will do it. Sheep by nature are very fearful. They have great anxiety. They're defenseless in this world. And they're always hungry. It's four things sheep are known for. Well, we have to be fed. We're fed by the great shepherd. The Bible calls him the great shepherd. The Bible calls him the good shepherd. The Bible says he's the only shepherd. Turn with me just a minute over to Ezekiel 34. Ezekiel 34, beginning in verse 11. For thus saith the Lord God, behold, I want you to listen to the Lord speak this morning. May the Holy Ghost reveal to you that it's all of Him. I will both search my sheep and seek them out. I'll do it. I will seek my sheep. I am the great shepherd. I am the good shepherd. As a shepherd seeketh out his flock in the day that he is among his sheep that are scattered, so will I seek out my sheep and will deliver them out of all places. He maketh me. He will deliver them out of all places where they have been scattered in the cloudy and dark day. That's the day of our flesh. That's the day of our wandering. That's the day that we go to this world over and over again. But we have a faithful shepherd who seeks out his sheep. And as you'll see in this passage, it's not a one-time thing because we do keep wandering. I will bring them out from the people and gather them from the countries and will bring them to their own land. Do you realize that the sheep in Christ have a land that's not among the people? It's not among this world. We are strangers and pilgrims in this land. He has made us such. I will bring them to their own land and feed them upon the mountains of Israel by the rivers and in all the inhabited places of the country. I will feed them in a good pasture, and upon the high mountains of Israel shall their food, their fold be. There shall they lie in a good fold, and in a fat pasture shall they feed upon the mountains of Israel. Listen to this. I will feed my flock, and I will cause them to lie down, saith the Lord God. In the day of His power, I, the Lord, will do it. Argue all you want in the pride of your soul, of how you'll have preeminence in your life, how you'll have co-authorship or co-pilotship. It doesn't matter what you say. If the Lord truly is your shepherd, He will make you to lie down. And you're right, it will be against your will. But He will bend your will to follow His will in the day of His power. And He'll do it with great love. Because it's love that constrains us. I will feed my flock and I will cause them to lie down, saith the Lord God. I will seek that which was lost and bring again that which was driven away and will bind up that which was broken. He maketh me whole. He maketh me lie down. He maketh me fed. He maketh me in the fold. He maketh me. And will strengthen that which was sick. But I will destroy the fat and the strong. Vengeance is mine. I told you, the Lord made me to lie down in that green pasture this week. That vengeance is His. I will repay. But I will destroy the fat and the strong. I will feed them with judgment. And we see that in our text today. As we go on later, we see that the Lord has made that table in the presence of our enemies. Why? Because He maketh us to lie down to see it. He maketh me. He is the first cause of rest. He is our only rest. And by the faith that He gives us in this life of His faith, to see it and to believe it and to lay hold of it, that is when we are made to lie down. It's the vehicle that He uses, Himself. Turn with me over once again to a very familiar passage in Matthew 11. At the end, come unto me. That is His command and His fulfillment. I stand once again and say, Hawker got it right. The Lord's commands are His enablings. It's His power. We will not resist. We cannot resist. It's irresistible grace. Praise God for that. Because we're going to try. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. He maketh me to lie down. He does. He calls me to Him. He says, you labor, you're heavy laden, come unto me. There's not one in here that's not heavy laden sometime in their life. And if you're not, if you find that you're one of those religionists, high religionists that have no problems in this world, then I revert back to the psalmist again and say, you're one of those that he spoke of that have no changes. Have no changes. You don't know the power of the Lord in your soul to convince you of sin and to convince you of this great shepherd and salvation in him and in no other. Take my yoke upon you. This is what he does. He puts his shepherdness, his rod and his staff that comforts. He maketh me. It's his yoke. It's his power to put it on for us to follow him. It's his obedience. Walk in my obedience. Well, Lord, I can't. I'm disobedient. That's okay. You will be willing in the day of my power. Have you ever experienced the willingness of the Lord in your soul and the unwillingness of you? Who won? You say, well, many times I've been left to explore my own will. Yes, you have. But by sitting here today, I have to ask you, has the Lord ever brought you to the end of yourself to see that your way is death? Your way is not his way. He is the way, the truth, and the life. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall, he maketh me, ye shall find rest unto your souls. Do you hear the voice of the shepherd this morning? Not my voice, the voice of the shepherd. I maketh you. That's where your rest is. That's where the peace that passes all understanding. Because our understanding, we understand it from the creature perspective. How can I rest? How can I do this? What can I do for this? He maketh me to lie down. Ye shall find rest unto your soul. All of the Lord's promises are yea and amen in Him. When He says, I shall do it, He shall do it. I can't prove that to you. He will. For my yoke is easy. My burden is light. And we look at that and we say, whoa, yoke and burden? No, that can't be easy. It's easy because He maketh me. It's easy because it's in the day of His power. It's easy because it's of Him and by Him and through Him and strengthened by Him. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. Paul tells us in Hebrews 4:9 that there remaineth therefore rest to the people of God. That rest is Christ. Resting in His green pastures. Resting in His finished work. My Lord has done it. I've watched my dear wife struggle this week. Something she's never had to face in her life. Higher blood pressure. Hadn't gone down much. She's struggling. Struggling to say, what can I do to bring it down? Only He can make her to rest. She knows it up here. She knows it. She could tell me, I need to trust Him. That's right, you do. She will in the day of His power. And He will take that anxiety away. And He'll make you to rest. If His promises are true. I believe they are, and I believe He'll prove it to you as I stand here trusting in the Lord, in my Lord. He maketh me to lie down. But He doesn't just make me to lie down. They're in green pastures. I want to take a few moments to explore the rest of this psalm. In light of His power to make me to lie down. And if you walk away from this psalm and you don't believe that what He has to say, what the Holy Spirit gave Him for the rest of this psalm are not green pastures, All I can say is you don't know him. And you haven't experienced him. Oh, David, oh, Lord, what are those green pastures? Well, he begins with, he leadeth me beside the still waters. Still waters. Not the turbulent waters. Not the waters that we find in our life every day. The anxiety I mentioned, the fear, all these things that sheep see stir up those waters, and those waters are very turbulent. When the Lord was with the disciples and the waters were very turbulent and they were very afraid, the Lord said to them in Mark 4:39, and he arose and rebuked the wind and said unto the sea, peace, be still. There's a whole lot of Christ in that. He leadeth me. He maketh me to come beside these still waters. But he also maketh them still. By his voice. The power in his voice to say, peace be still. And the wind ceased and there was a great calm. Those waters that we come to in this life are very turbulent, as I've said. We make them that way. Satan makes them that way. Our fallen nature makes them that way. We're full of anxiety. We have to be shown the one thing needful. You know, I thought about that this week and all the many lusts that lie in our souls. The lust for power, the lust for riches, the lust for never having enough. And all of that is anxiety. All of it's anxiety. And we can't trust the shepherd that he's going to provide. That Jehovah Jireh is Jehovah Jireh, the Lord provideth. He leads me and he maketh me to come before these still waters. John 14:27 says, peace I leave with you. My peace I give unto you, not as the world giveth. We always gloss over that. We just go over to the end of it and say, but listen, there's a comparison that Christ makes. The peace I give you is nothing the world can give you. Can a good health report give you peace? Yes. Can riches give you peace? Yes. Can prosperity and a warm house and a good warm bed and all of these things in this life, can they give you peace? Yes. Understand, that is not Christ's peace. That's what he says here. Not what the world gives you. I give you peace in me. I maketh you peaceful. He maketh me. Not the world. That's what he says. I giveth unto you, not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. That's the power. That's the peace be still. The creative power of the Lord. I know there are those that say, that's not creative. That's telling you to obey. Well, if it is, you're lost and damned because you're not going to. But if it's all of Him, if it's in the day of His power, if it's by Him, you will. That's what He's saying. Let not your heart be troubled. We just talked about sheep. They're fearful, they're full of anxiety, they're worried about their enemies, they're hungry all the time. Let not your heart be troubled. Lord, say that to my soul. Maketh me not to be troubled. Maketh me to lie down in you, Lord. Neither let it be afraid. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. We are afraid. He maketh his love come into our soul to cast out fear. He maketh me love. He maketh me trust. He maketh me desire him. He maketh me. He restores my soul. Does your soul need restoration? Restoreth means it's ongoing. Does your soul need to be restored? Well, he maketh my soul restored. He'll maketh your soul restored. Jeremiah 30:17 says, For I will restore health unto thee, and I will heal thee of thy wounds, saith the Lord, because they called thee an outcast, saying, this is Zion whom no man seeketh after. That's what the people of the world say about the people of Christ, the church, Zion. The world will have none of it. The Lord says, I will heal you. I will restore your soul. Not the world. Not going out and trying to find more. It's a never-ending quest for the child of God. It's a never-ending quest for those outside of Christ. The only difference is he maketh my soul restored. He's faithful to himself. You and I aren't, but he is. Titus 3:5 says, not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy. According to his mercy, he maketh me out of his mercy. According to his mercy, he saved us by the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Ghost. We need to be renewed by the Holy Ghost every day. He restoreth my soul. He maketh my soul restored. I challenge you. Find the creature here. This is all what the Lord has done. Sermon after sermon after sermon of listening, that always gets to, oh, this is what God's done. Now let's talk about man the whole rest of the sermon. Let's talk about how we take what the shepherd's done and we improve ourselves. Really? If you really have an understanding, you see that the Lord is telling his sheep, you can't do it. But those false sheep, those wolves in sheep's clothing, like to stand up and go, oh, but we can. We just need a little nudge, then we can take over. We can mix grace and obedience and the law. We can do all those things. You shall surely die. But the people in Christ won't, because the Lord is my shepherd. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Listen, he does not lead us in the path of righteousness for our name's sake, for our boast. For us to look at the Lord and say, oh, look what we have. Or look in the world and say, I'm better than you because of this. For his name's sake. That's the gospel conversation that he writes in the soul of the child of God. Not unto us, Lord, unto your name have all glory and praise for great things you have done. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. He maketh me to go in that path for his glory. I'm not going there. I'm too concerned about my own glory. My fallen nature wants to say, look at me. But Christ in me wants all glory to belong to him. My glorying, let it be in him. Those that glory, glory in the Lord. Proverbs 8:20 says, I lead in the way of righteousness in the midst of the paths of judgment. Proverbs 12:28 says, "In the way of righteousness is life, and in the pathway thereof there is no death." In the way of the Lord's righteousness there is life. He maketh me to go in that path. We sing that song a lot. I was a wandering sheep. But you know, we could sing that every week and it can apply to us that week. I was a wandering sheep. I was a wandering sheep. We wander off into other pastures. Oh Lord, restore us. The Lord maketh us to come to the path of thy righteousness. May we come in the day of your power and by your power. And let it be for your name's sake, Lord. David said in Psalm 143:11, "Quicken me, O Lord, for thy name's sake, for thy righteousness' sake, bring my soul out of trouble." Does that sound like one who can bring himself out of trouble? Does that sound like one who desires his name to be a name above all the earth? No. And yet God made him a king. He maketh me. He maketh me to follow him in the path of his righteousness, for his glory, for his name's sake. This is his green pastures. It's all of him. Is there life, as you listen to this today, examine, may the Holy Spirit examine you. Is there really life outside of these things? Can you find something better? Is there something more than just this? I can't answer that for you. But guess what? He's still not done. But we do come to one we don't like as much. "Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil." Guess what? He maketh me. He maketh me walk through the valley of the shadow of death. He maketh me. He maketh me not to fear the evil. Why is it so necessary? Isaiah in Isaiah 9:2 said, "The people that walked in darkness have seen a great light. They that dwell in the land of the shadow of death, upon them hath the light shined." In Luke 1:79, when speaking of Christ, it starts to give light to them that sit in darkness and in the shadow of death, to guide our feet into the way of peace. He maketh me. And that this is something we'll take issue with in our old nature. But Lord, why do we have to experience the shadow of death? Well, here's the glorious gospel. Because you'll never experience death. The sheep will experience the shadow of death to reveal what great life there is in Christ. What he has saved us from. Death is an enemy. We'll talk about that a minute with this table he prepared. Death is the specter of death all our life. We're fearful of it. I'm fearful of it today. The Lord must make me to lie down in the light that he is. The light that has defeated darkness. The light of life that he is, that he has for me, and that this shadow is just that. It's a shadow. He has to tell me that one day, in his time, I will fall asleep in him. And he will take me to a life of never-ending communion with him. And that shadow of death, the sting of it will be gone. Because he'll show me that my sins are forgiven. And it, he has purged my conscience and purged all of me of dead works to serve the living Lord. And that's hard because we do backslide a lot. This old nature is still with us till the time we die. And it's a battle. And it's a horrible warfare. And I say horrible because I feel like in my life I've been on the other side way too much. But when the Lord delivers, when He shows me that these enemies are just shadows because He's defeated them all, He maketh me to lie down. In His finished work, He's alive. His resurrection power, He came up out of the grave to defeat death. Do I have the sentence of death in myself? Yes. And I pray to God that sentence of death is on my old nature. And that it's put away forever one day. And it doesn't hinder me anymore. And Satan can't get to me anymore. And the specter and the shadow of death can't get to me anymore. Though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. He maketh me not to fear. And aren't you thankful for passages like what we have in Hebrews that He could swear by no other? He swore by Himself. I look at these things and when I hear what the Lord has done for me and what He will do for me and what He has done for me, I say, oh Lord, I'm so thankful it doesn't depend on me. I depend on people my whole life. You may be prideful and say, I don't depend on anybody, but we do. We depend on people our whole life. But I'm so thankful that the Lord doesn't depend on me to get it right. Been shown enough times in my life, it's not going to happen. For Thou art with me, and Thy rod and Thy staff, they comfort me. Thy rod and Thy staff. Another, I told you this verse is tough for us. We don't like the shadow of death, and we don't like the rod and the staff. But we certainly know that Paul wrote, for whom the Lord loveth, He chasteneth. And scourgeth every son whom He receiveth. It's Hebrews 12:6. We talked about that a few weeks ago. Whom He loves, He chastens. That's that rod and that staff. He maketh me to be comfortable. That's what it says. He comforts me. He comforts me with His rod and His staff. I know. To our minds, doesn't make any sense. I tell you what, those are some of the most trying times as in fatherhood for me, was taking my child and applying the rod to my child and taking them up in my arms and telling them that it was good for them. I got the weirdest looks. I did. I got really like, really, Dad? I was trying to teach them what the Lord has taught me. It is good for me. It is good for me that I was afflicted. That I might learn more of You, Lord. It's good for me that I'm chastened, that the Lord continues to put down that which rises up against Him. It's His rod and His staff that comforts us. But He makes us to see that. He makes us to be comforted by that. We can't reason that in ourselves, no more than that child could. He maketh me. Verse 5 tells us, Thou preparedest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. In the presence of Satan and sin, my old nature, the world, death, the Lord has prepared a victorious table. A table fully supplied with Himself. And His power. and his resurrection power that has defeated all of them in the table of mine enemies. Before me in the presence of mine enemies, with all of my enemies around, the Lord has brought me to his banqueting table because his banner over me is love. In the midst of vengeance is mine, I will repay. He maketh me to lie down. That's all. My nature is not that way. I'm guessing yours isn't either. Isaiah 25:8 says, he will swallow up death in victory, and the Lord God will wipe away tears from off all faces, and the rebuke of his people shall be taken away from far off the earth, for the Lord hath spoken it. 1 Corinthians 15:57 says, thanks be to God which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Our victory is in Jesus. He has prepared a table of victory before me in the presence of mine enemies. And my enemies can't touch that table. And my enemies aren't bidden to that table because they've been put down and they've been put away. Thou, Lord, has anointed my head with oil and my cup runneth over. The Lord has anointed my head with oil. We always know the oil is the Holy Spirit. The Lord sends a spirit to our soul because he maketh us lie down in the instruction of the Holy Spirit. And he takes the things of Christ and he shows them and reveals them to us. And he maketh our cup to run over. John 10:10 says, the thief cometh not but for to steal and to kill and to destroy. I am come that they might have life. And then the beauty, not just life, dear ones, and that they might have it more abundantly. More abundantly. That's what he gives us. He's prepared this table. He's anointed our head with his cup. But it's not with the things of the world. It's with him. The cup of our soul is running over with him. He's enlarged our heart and our soul with himself. And he has set us into that place which is himself. He is the door. He is the sheepfold. He is the body. He is life. And our life is more abundant in him. And if you're sitting there counting abundance by the things that you have, you don't know him. You haven't been revealed the glory of him in your soul. That's what abundant life is. They will have more abundance of life. I'm come that they might have life. They might have it more abundantly. That was in John 10, the great shepherd, where the Lord said, I am everything to my children. James 4:6 says, but he giveth more grace, wherefore he saith, God resisteth the proud. He resists pride. Don't ever think those two things mix. The proud religionist always rises his head and says, this is what I've done for you. But the Lord resists the pride, and he gives grace to the humble. He gives grace to those who are humbled. He gives grace. He maketh me to lie down in humility. He does. And then our final verse, because we're pressed for time. Surely. That's a surety, dear ones. Our surety is in Christ Jesus. That's why David could say, surely, goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. Because he saw his great shepherd who's full of mercy and full of goodness. Absolutely, David says, it will follow me all the days of my life because he's faithful. Because he's provided. Because he's done it. He maketh me to see that. to lie down and see that. And more importantly, to experience. Hebrews 7:22 says, "By so much was Jesus made a surety of a better covenant. He maketh me sure in Him, my surety." He's the head of that covenant. He is the life of that covenant. He is the all in all of that covenant. Hebrews 6:19 says, "Which hope we have as an anchor of the soul, both sure and steadfast, and which entereth into that within the veil." That's what Christ did. He went and he went through that veil as our great intercessor and our great high priest and our great mediator, so that we, in the day of His power, by hearing His voice, to come unto me, we have access to the Father. And all of the blessings the Father has given into the Son, to be applied by the Holy Ghost. What a perfect triune God. I don't say that flippantly. "Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me. He maketh me to lie down in His assurance." Not mine, His. And finally, "And I will dwell because of His assurance," because of His surety, "I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever." Psalm 27:4 says, "One thing have I desired of the Lord, that will I seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord, and to inquire in His temple." What is that temple? It's His habitation. It's Himself. Psalm 91:9 tells us that. "Because thou hast made the Lord, which is my refuge, even the Most High, thy habitation." He is my dwelling place. He maketh me to lie down in Christ. I hope you see today why the Lord impressed this upon me. This whole maketh me. Because truly, without Him doing it, performing all things for me, I will never experience the rest of this psalm. And I'll never experience Him as my shepherd unless my shepherd performs all things for me. To Him be all glory. Dear Heavenly Father, may You add Thy power and Thy clarity to the souls of Thy people for Your name's sake. For this I ask in Jesus' name. Amen.